This coming Shabbos, Abba Aleinu, Baal Kol Yisrael Letova, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera, which is an exciting, jam-packed parsha, begins in a very exciting place with Abraham Avinu sitting by the opening of his tent. U'yoshev Pesach Awal, who was sitting at the door of his tent, and Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zatzal noted that Abraham Avinu highlights a different type of a person. You know, many of us have a hard time concentrating on tefillah because we're distracted by our own affairs. Abraham Avinu was the personality who was sitting and literally thinking of and conversing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even while he was being involved in his own affairs. And so therefore, that's how Abraham Avinu is known as the Isha Chesed. His Chesed came because every opportunity he had, he looked for an opportunity to connect it to Hashem. You see, says Rabbi Twersky, the egocentric person can't find room for Hashem, and certainly not for another person. But if one is not at the center of his universe and can look beyond himself, he can see others and have room for Hashem and Chesed at the same time. So God speaks to Avraham and he sends three malachim who also speak to Avraham. And of course, afterwards, Avraham debates with God and the malachim come that day. Umatzos afa mayuchelu. They come to Sodom and they meet Lot. And Lot bakes matzahs for them and they ate. And Rashi tells us that it was Pesach. Why did they bake matzahs before they left Egypt? How does one volunteer a mitzvah that hasn't been commanded as yet? The sibas ha-mitzvah, the hint to the mitzvah hasn't been commanded. Its purpose isn't known. So Rav Shechter used to relate to us often in the name of the Beis HaLevi that Hashem can command a mitzvah before its historical connection. And the same can be said over here, that Hashem created the mitzvah of eating matzah. And the Zecher L'Nes came afterwards, and that's just the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to give you the reason why he wants you to do something. He wants us to eat matzos. And therefore, the lead time for Avraham Avinu and for his family, in this case Lot, certainly can be identified accordingly. We learn about the destruction of the city of Sodom, which was such a tragedy and the great loss of life. But of course, Avraham Avinu, his son, his nephew Lot, and his two daughters, and his wife, run out of the city. Now, Lot's wife turns around and ignores the warning, and she becomes a Nitziv Melech, right? And that's the way things proceed. But the young women wind up in a cave with their father, and they got very nervous, and they thought that the world was coming to an end. Batashkena Savi and Yayin Balailahu, the Torah tells us, they plied their father with wine on that night. And of course, the language Balailahu seems sort of strange. Technically speaking, the proper language should have been Balailahahu, and not Balailahu. So Rav David Feinstein's Hatzal explained that Hu, in this case, as opposed to Hahu, refers to an intentional action taken by Hashem. He is the Hu. And Rashi explains that Lot's family didn't have time to take wine with them when they went into the cave. But Hashem provided them with the wine, since he believed that the mission and the future of the daughters of Lot were going to be pure. However, he also brought it around in an indignant manner, a manner that shows indignity for Lot, in order to punish Lot for the lifestyle that he had embraced in Sodom. And that's an important concept that I think sometimes we lose out on in our focus. In the same moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can honor one side of an issue, he can wind up having to use it to punish and send a message to the other side as well. Afterwards, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu wind up in Gerar. After that, of course, Sarah Imenu has a baby. And the discussion is declared, Tzchok Asali Elokim, God made it a joke for me. Now we understand the difficulty that our Avos and Imos had in having children. So why did Avram and Sarah need to live without one for so many years, only to go through the Yishmael experiences? So Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, that's all, both Rav David and Rabbi Sachs, have Yortzeits that are coming up this month. Both of them explained about that while there are, in this case, Rabbi Sachs points out, that while there are many answers, one seems to transcend all others. Namely, that we're meant to understand that we cherish what we wait for and what we most risk losing. In other words, life's full of wonders, and the miracle of a child is a great miracle, yet precisely because these things are natural, we take them for granted, and we forget that nature is an architect, history is an author, Judaism, on the other hand, is a sustained discipline in not taking life for granted. We're the people who were born into slavery so that we should learn the value of freedom. We were born as a ma'at, as a small, so we should know that strength doesn't lie in numbers, but in the faith that brings out courage. Our ancestors walked through the valley of the shadow of death, so we should never forget the sanctity of life. And that's why Hashem put Avram and Sarah through these trials, the long way, the unmet hope, the Akedah, so that neither they nor their descendants would ever take children for granted. Every child is a miracle, and being a parent is the closest we can get to Hashem, bringing life into being through an act of love. And certainly, when the next episode takes place, Yishmael winds up dying under a tree, Hashem hears the voice of the lad. And Rashi tells us that we learned the lesson that Hashem listens to the prayers of the sick first. And Rav Olbi Zatzal explained that this is because the sick prays to Hashem from the depths of his heart and understands that everything is from Hashem. Finally, towards the end of the parasha, we are gifted the opportunity to learn about the episode of Akedas Yitzchak, which of course serves as such a major zechus, as such a major merit for the future of Am Yisrael. And as Avram Avinu gets the command, Kachnas Bincha, we are told by Ashkem Avram Baboker, Avram Avinu got up early in the morning, and we see how important it is to get up with an excitement, with a brand, to be able to go serve Hashem. And we know he got up early, but it still took 3 days to get to the Akedah. So what took three days? What transpired in the middle? And the late, great Lublina Rav, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi movement, quoted the Medrash that explains that Satan was ready to do his worst during these 3 days. So why did he listen to the Malach? Why did Avram Avinu listen to the Malach and not to the Satan? So Rav Meir explains that when he saw the aisle stuck in the thicket, Avram knew that this angel must speak the truth. From Jewish experience, nothing comes easy. Continuity requires challenge. And we're told, Shulachem poem machamor vani vana neil chalko. We're told, you stay here with the donkey. And Rav Shachter Shlita was fond of noting the comments of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that there's a difference between po and ko. Po is what the nations of the world would like to live in, the here and the now without the hope for a destiny. Ko speaks to a place that's beyond the now, and it's certainly an incredible, wonderful place. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read about some of the miracles that occurred with Elisha. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, wonders why each of these episodes that are described in the Haftorah are described in the Nevi'im. Wouldn't Ksuvim have been more appropriate, after all? These miracles were for personal individuals as opposed to the masses. Again, Rav Yaakov assumes that the difference between being in Navi and being in Ksuvim did you do something for the masses or are you doing something for the individual? So Rav Yaakov answers that these nevuos will be necessary in the future for the nation when Eliyahu HaNavi comes to tell us about the Geula, and there will be challenges to the nevuah. These types of miracles performed by Eliyahu and then later by Elisha with double of Eliyahu's power will testify to the veracity of his nevuah, which of course will therefore give him the right to represent and be mevaser ha-geula, to go ahead and inform us about the geula, and to be able for us to be able to believe in him and know that there's good news up on the horizon. And there always is good news up on the horizon. It's upon us to realize it, to get ready, to prepare, and to be excited. Shabbat shalom to all.